book is based on nearly 8 years of research that primarily involved me traveling around both the United States and Canada and interviewing longtime activists and organizers involved in a variety of different kinds of campaigns and organizations. We're trying to work for long-term radical social transformation. And I asked people questions about what are we learning as we do this work? What kinds of challenges are we coming up against? What kinds of big unresolved questions are we facing as we're doing it? And the book was my attempt to characterize some of the developing shared politics that I think many of us in many different cities are creating together, and also to really bring up many of these lessons that I think people are learning in specific places but often don't get shared very widely. So the book is both a kind of broad characterization but also a kind of compilation of insights from many very, very dedicated and brilliant activists.
There was an election in the United States, and Republicans will be in power in the U.S. Congress as a result. And the Republicans seem determined to move forward with projects like the Keystone XL pipeline. So how does that affect these activists' movements?
Well, we certainly have our challenges cut out for us. At the same time, I actually think that many of these kinds of organized fights against Keystone XL and other kinds of pipeline construction projects, and also coal trains, of course, which I think has been a major issue in the Northwest, I think all of these kinds of fights are going to continue to ramp up, because for sure, the people who are running the government are quite committed to trying to put many of those things through. And of course, there are major energy companies that are going to make great profits off of that. And it's really, I think, on us to figure out how we can develop the kinds of people power to stand in the way of those projects and actually build alternatives to that kind of economy. And I actually feel quite a lot of hope. I mean, I understand that the results of this election do make things more challenging in many ways. But at the same time, I think we're seeing a real blossoming of amazing alliances all over this continent, particularly with indigenous people at the forefront, right? Because so many of these kinds of projects are about transporting things across traditional indigenous territories or actually extracting resources out of them. And there's some fantastic efforts of people to try and halt these things. And I think we're actually going to see more of that and more kinds of unlikely alliances of people coming together to do that kind of activist work.
So how do you see activism creating social change?
That's a wonderful question. I think that in a fundamental way, part of how activism creates social change is by bringing more and more people together who can build power together and actually engage in disruptive action that raises costs for people who run the dominant institutions in our society. And when we actually have enough of us that take enough action and in some way actually pose a threat to how things are going, we can push. We can actually push to have people who are of power, policymakers, for example, to have to accede to our demands, even when they don't want to.
One of the issues that was on the ballot in Oregon was a bill to require labeling of genetically modified foods, and that narrowly was defeated. Do you think because it was such a narrow margin that there's reason to be optimistic, or is it frustrating to see that happen?
Well, I think it's both frustrating and a cause for some optimism. I mean, the fact of the matter is, in those kinds of campaigns, there's intense funding that's coming from these corporations that have so much to benefit from keeping things as they are, right? So in this case, not having GMO labeling. And just the fact that we are able to amass some of our own resources and some of our own power to push back against that, I do think is a testament to the energy and dedication of many, many dedicated people. Now, at the same time, it's really rough, right? Like, this is just actually one example of many where we have a lot arrayed against us as we try to change things, because these companies really benefit from the way that things currently are. And so, you know, this is a situation where we do need to think about the long haul, like the long term of what we're trying to do here, and to think strategically about what other kinds of resources, what other kinds of ways we can bring people together to challenge that power. Because we are going to have an awfully difficult time winning on these electoral fronts.
You describe yourself as a longtime anarchist. What does it mean to be an anarchist?
So anarchism is a longstanding political tradition with really its roots in the late 19th century within working class movements that were very much a part of the labor movement and had a well-developed analysis of the system, economic system that we're in, which is capitalism. And anarchism has continued to be a really prominent political tendency on the far left. And the way that I think about anarchism is as a kind of political commitment to trying to fundamentally change how the society is structured and move toward a society that has much more social equality, where people are actually able to participate in the decisions that govern their lives in a deep, meaningful way, and where we are able to achieve some level of economic justice and ecological sustainability. And I do believe that that means trying to fight against these dominant systems that have been so long standing here. But I also think it involves having a positive vision that a new kind of society could be created. And that's a long-term project, trying to create that society. So that's part of how I think about what anarchism means.